Hi, I'm Jack.
And I'm Kevin.
This is Good Company in the Car.
Can't help it, the girl can't help it. Can't help it, the girl can't help it.
If she walks by, the mean folks get in close.
Can't help it, the girl.
Okay, good afternoon. How are you?
Is it afternoon?
It is afternoon.
Good afternoon, Kevin. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. So today we learned Kate Middleton has cancer, and in true tabloid tradition, the British have been trash about her over the past couple of months.
Right. Like,
there was that photo she had, and it was all photoshopped, and she pulled it. She's trying to discreetly hide her cancer diagnosis, and the press is just trash.
Right.
The British press are notoriously trash.
Right.
I was listening to a podcast about the Black Dahlia murder. It's a very famous murder back in 1946.
Yes.
The story broke. The body was found. The police scanner, press back then used to listen to the police scanner. Oh, they got the news. We got the scoop.
Right.
One of the Los Angeles press reporters heard about it, found out who the woman was, called her mom, told her mom that her daughter, Catherine Short, was that it? Elizabeth Short. Had won a beauty contest, and he wanted to get her details, when she was born, what she liked to do, where she'd lived. The mother happily told this reporter all about it, and then he said, actually, the reason I'm calling you is your daughter's been murdered.
Ooh.
And the way the press handled the Black Dahlia murder, so it goes, but it's nothing new, but I was just thinking about Kate when she comes on today, and she made that thing, and she looks a little gaunt. And she is, you know, she's young
still
mother.
She's beautiful.
She's very pretty.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking about, they're going through all of this, and the British are just, they're like, she's photoshopping, she's phony, and it's like.
But she's being a real person.
She's being a real person.
I don't
person.
Know anybody that, I don't know, well, I don't have to I don't have to Photoshop my pictures, but most everybody, you know, they choose the best picture. They cut
it's
stuff
only
out.
Human.
Everybody does that.
And she said, like most people, I like to edit my photos.
Right.
Everybody does.
And it's
it.
Not like she edited little stupid things that didn't matter. It's like, you know, like when you look at a picture and like there's something in the background that's too bright or whatever, so you just kind of smudge it so that you can't see. Everybody does that.
I was just thinking about that Black Dahlia though, the reporter doing that, and
the paparazzi are horrible. But the interesting thing to me about the whole British thing is Charles is finally the king with his current wife, who he was screwing around with when he was married to Diana.
Right.
Now, William, his wife has got cancer. He's being attached to this other woman.
Oh, is that true? That gossip?
That he's having an affair. And apparently she's like semi-royalty. Like she's a very wealthy, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like,
just when I was thinking good about William.
Really? William, you didn't see what your parents went through and you're doing this bullshit?
I hope it's just rumor. It's not, you know, it's just speculation, right?
No, they can't be putting people's pictures and names in there. I mean, they'll be sued if they're wrong.
I don't.
So, and then of course, my best friend Frank and I are sending messages back and forth to each other, and he sent me a picture of
Megan on the side looking on at all this.
He sent me a picture of Audrey Hepburn in the Holly Golightly from Breakfast at Tiffany's, looking down the nose of her sunglasses.
Yeah.
He goes, "Well, here's Megan," and I'm like, "Yeah, Megan." The only thing Megan did was she didn't want to be, you know, being attacked as in racial ways. And here the other ones are just simply falling apart. I honestly think that this is going to be if William is truly having an affair and screwing it up like his father did, nobody's going to care about the monarchy anymore.
No.
Literally, this is going to be the end of it.
I think you're right, but I hope it's not. I don't care about the monarchy.
Vastly interesting.
I've never been interested in them or the Kennedys.
I can't help myself.
But they do more for the British economy than they cost. They bring in millions of pounds.
I agree.
So,
I agree.
I don't know. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth. But, you know, it leaves a worse taste in my mouth.
Oh, no. This is a segue. What? What leaves the worst
crime.
Crime.
Murder.
When
spouses murder each other. So I watched a YouTube condensed version. I think this was Cold Case File. And you watched the Forensic File version of the same crime.
Well, like as I pointed out to you, they were both A&E.
Yeah.
A&E owns Cold Case and Forensic Files. So they have, I guess, license to the information and everything.
Okay.
But they were a lot of the information was the same. A lot of the voiceover stuff was the same. But it obviously had been quite a period of time, because the daughter of the
victim
had aged by years and was an adult in the one versus being a old an old child, semi-adult, in the other one.
So this happened in Verona, Kentucky, which is a town of 500 people.
Wait.
Oh, no. Okay, keep going.
You didn't do the thing.
Oh. If it were Forensic Files, it would be season 9.
I thought we were doing Cold Case.
Well, we don't know what the Cold Case file is. So if you wanted to watch it,
okay.
Forensic Files.
Season 9.
Episode 13.
A Daughter's Journey.
Now jump to Cold Case Files.
Because it's the same thing.
Narrator and everything.
It's all the research.
But the reason the Cold Case one's better is because you get all that good B-roll about the dad up in Nova Scotia. Okay. So it's 1980. Deanna Marlene Major has disappeared. She was apparently having a domestic argument with her husband. Their two young children are asleep. She storms off in the night. Nobody knows what's happened to her. All of her stuff's left at the home. Her credit cards, her driver's license, but her car is gone. She's gone. The husband is saying she abandoned the family, and that's it. They don't find her car. They don't find her, and the kids are forced to believe their dad, that mom ran off and just left us.
Says she was drugs, alcohol, and prostitution.
Yeah, and she didn't care about the kids.
Because he was such a stellar member of society.
He ends up being that piece of shit. So a few months later, decomposed portion of a skull is found by a hunter. And they always suspected Bill did this, but since the skull has had the jaw and all of the teeth removed, they can't do anything to identify it. So the case goes cold. So we meet the now grown daughter, Lalana Brandel. She's married. And this is the year 2000. And she is asking her father if he will tell her what he did with the body. And he said, and she said, I'm not going to turn you into the authorities. I just want to know where she is. And the dad says, well, I'm not going to do that. I don't know what you're talking about or whatever. And she's like, oh, really? Okay, it's on. So we watched in the Forensic Files.
He's such a ding dong. He never says, I didn't do it. He says, I'm not telling you that. He's answering her question that he did it.
So they can't stand their father. She and her brother can't stand it.
Well, they have reason.
You've got a lot of backstory on that. So she's making a lot of noise, and this is Linda Talley Smith. She's a prosecutor, and she's almost too good looking to be taken seriously. She's that striking blonde.
Okay, I can see the thing that makes her obviously a prosecutor is she talks in this kind of a voice,
a monotone,
very monotone kind of, because she's got to be a prosecuting attorney.
Yeah, to be taken seriously.
Yeah, to be taken seriously.
But she prides herself on getting shit done, so she wants to take a look at this case.
She likes cold cases.
I have a passion for trying to close cases, and this is one of those perfect cases where you feel like you have to commit everything that you possibly can, every resource available to you, so that you can tell this family, we have done everything that we could possibly do.
This is Detective Todd Kenner from the Boone County Sheriff's Department.
Boone County, because it was Kentucky.
Right. We have to make sure that we go from missing to dead. So she's categorized as missing, but they want her, the daughter.
I wonder why that was holding up things with the case. Because she was missing and not dead, it had a different range. It affects how hard they look or something. Uh-huh. I don't understand that.
We get some DNA information now.
Of course, the first thing, one of the most important things was doing the DNA identification of the skull. So we contacted the daughter so she could do a swab.
Okay, so we know that skull fragment is Marlene. Now, we're going to learn more about the whole drama behind that from Jack. But we go from her being simply being dead to being murdered. And they go back to the fragment of the skull, and they find where the gunshot was. They have that analyzed. It was probably a 7mm or a 9mm, which was the kind of gun he owned. And you can see hack marks on her skull where the jaw was removed. It's really grisly, and it turned all of our stomachs.
There were striations right through here that indicated to me that there was a deliberate attempt to remove those ligaments or sever those ligaments with a knife. Because as soon as you get through those ligaments all the way around the joint, then the jaw will come off.
So now we hear from Linda Talley Smith, and this is her approach to law, and I get what she is saying. You need a statement from the suspect, anything, a denial, a confirmation, an evasive statement, something to get the ball rolling. If they're telling the truth, not telling the truth, you have to have something to start with.
One philosophy that I've always had is that you need a statement from a defendant. I don't care if it's a denial, if it's a go to hell, or if it's a complete confession, just anything that nails them into their version of what took place.
Oh boy, do we learn that? His kids fucking hate him, and so does his dad.
Oh.
So in 1996, Major apparently admitted to Jim, Major, his father, that he killed Marlene, and Jim told the authorities, but since it's hearsay and it wasn't recorded, it was no good.
He says, I killed Marlene. I said, you little bastard.
Obviously, that statement is a great statement, but there was a lot of animosity between Jim Major and Bill Major. And so, you know, the credibility of that type of witness is all automatically suspect.
So we need for him to go back in again and do it.
My understanding, now I don't know how accurate this is, my understanding was that he told his father when he was in prison.
Uh-huh.
So if it was in prison and it was on the phone, it would have been recorded. But the way it was being told, I think maybe it doesn't make sense to me how the father heard the story, because if it was on the phone and the guy was in prison, it would have been recorded.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
So we need for him to go back in again and do it, and he obliges with relish. So this just keeps getting better or worse, depending on your opinion. I have so many sound bites for the next part, I'm just going to run them. It's an attorney saying he's incriminating himself, and I'm going to save the good one for the end.
Hello?
Hello. What are you up to?
I just finished breakfast.
Just finished breakfast? For Christ's sakes, it's lunchtime.
Basically asked him, what we were after was, one, to confirm that the conversation did take place in 96, and to get what details he could out of him.
Bill, I said, I'm calling you up, I want to know something. He said, what's that? I said, why won't you tell me where you buried Marlene?
Immediately, you know, there was what I recall, pause on the phone.
I keep getting calls from Lolana, and she wants to know where her mother is, so that she can get the bones and put them in a casket and have closure.
Yeah, and put me in jail for life.
There was no denial there. He's basically saying, if I tell the truth, I'm going to jail.
Christ, at least you could be decent enough to say where you dumped her. I'll tip her where the body is if you let me know.
And then she's going to bounce it right back on me again. Then I'll have them Kentucky cops coming up here to arrest me and take me back down there again.
They didn't get you yet. It's been too long.
There's no such thing as too long.
He's confirming the conversation took place. He's confirming that he did this horrible thing.
She pulled a gun on you. You took it off her and shot her, right?
Yeah, that's one story.
That was your story. That's what you told me. But you told me you killed her.
No, at the time I was in jail and I was pretty well upset.
That's when the cops said, we got him. We got him.
The way the dad says, we got him, shows how cold that relationship was.
Well, if you look at how fucked up that kid was, and then the father's like, I can't believe I raised you.
Yeah.
So that's how fucked up this individual is, that the dad's like, how is it possible you're my child?
Yeah, he's disgusted.
You have pulled off the perfect crime, haven't you?
No, I wouldn't call it perfect.
Don't you even feel bad for killing her?
I don't have any kind of conscience about anything.
Well, you are one tough bastard to think that the son I raised could do such a thing.
I don't even know why they talked to each other, why he picked up the phone, but he gets life, and here is Detective Terry Farndale. So, sentenced to life, and here's the father saying what he would do to him, and boy, is it a mouthful.
To sit down and think about how he would have manipulated her head to pull her teeth out and to remove her lower jaw reminds you of horror movies that you watch on TV. And the thinking of her looking, her eyes looking up at him as he's pulling her teeth out. That's a person without any feelings.
That no good son of a bitch would hang on myself if I could get my hands on him.
So he said, yeah, I'd hang the son of a bitch myself. What parent says that about
because
their child?
So, I mean, think about it. This is his child who he at one point loved.
Uh-huh.
And he's just like, what an incredible disappointment. And also, you know, once we know that it's Jim, right? The son is Jim. Jim, once we know that Jim has done all these horrible things,
mm-hmm.
The father's like, what a waste of time and energy you turned out to be.
Yeah.
So that's why the father is acting like that. Yeah. That's the way I think it is.
So here's the daughter, Lalana, one last time.
I've always felt a certain amount of guilt over her death because in my mind, and I know my brother feels the same way, she died to protect us, trying to protect us from him. And I sat there and I thought, she's finally going to be at peace.
Okay, so I watched that condensed cold case file thing on YouTube because it was easy for me to do the notes on it.
Right.
But we watched the forensic files and we got a lot more of the backstory. And shall we just talk about it a little bit?
Well, yeah, go ahead. There was a lot of information about this because the daughter, Lalana, she really took it on as her personal crusade mm-hmm. To find out what happened to her mother.
Right.
And the major's father, the father, right. I'm going to get the name screwed up. He allowed the police to tap his phone. They put a recorder on there and he made the call. He's like, I'll do it. And when he admitted the crime,
Is that did a good job of getting it out
of him? Right, because he was like, you already told me this. And the guy's like, did, you know.
He said, you committed the perfect crime. Did you hear those New England accents?
Really? Yes, it was really, really funny. So, and, you know, it's just so like...
When all this happened back in 1980, they were on a kind of a rural piece of property. And Deanna was having an affair with a worker that worked on the property, and Major was kind of encouraging it
Bill and this guy worked together. Now so this is my interpretation on this. So Bill encouraged Marlene to have an affair with this guy, according to forensic files. Bill even said, I encourage it. And I think it was because if he's got... accuses the wife of having an affair,
uh-huh.
he will look better in the eyes of the court. And of course, everybody, because you know, there's always prejudice against the,
right,
the women.
The dads are
woman's a horrible person because she's screwing around on the father.
Right.
But, the thing that in a way it's kind of, he kind of screwed himself is that he encouraged her to have this affair with this guy, and this guy, Lilliard, he actually, I don't know necessarily that there was love, but he cared for the woman enough to be like, oh shit, things are fucked up.
Yeah.
And Marlene kept diaries. And she had several little diaries. And this is kind of sad to me.
Yeah.
She gave the diaries that were full to him. And if you're in a situation, now I understand there's kids and everything. I've never been, knock on wood, I have never been in that situation where I am so worried about what might happen to me. Because I've made jokes like, well, if anything happens to me, there's the key to the safety, but whatever. Yeah. But to be in a position where like,
If something happens to me, Bill did it.
All the questions will be answered in these books.
Uh-huh.
So he had these diaries that had all this information that
time
she had written
again,
down about
see,
the father.
And it's women trapped in these relationships that they can't get. And she was trying to divorce him. She had caught him molesting their son.
The son. Well, she was molesting. He was molesting
both of
them.
But she actually caught him.
But she caught him with the boy, and that was what she was trying to throw against him to get out of it.
Yeah, she's like, "I'll divorce you, and you're not gonna fight me on this because I will turn you in on that." Right.
And actually, the horrible thing is, especially if this type of person, this mm-hmm. guy who I'm gonna do what I want to do, and you can't tell me what to do, and I'm the man,
right.
I'm this, I'm that. It actually, I think, amped him up to be like, "Oh yeah, I'll take care of this."
You don't want to antagonize a psychopath.
So it's really easy to sit here. She should have done this. She should have just taken the kids
work.
And leave
yeah.
and then gone to the police and take care of it that way. But you don't know. You're living in it. I am by no means
so easy to fix someone else's problem.
We
learn that he gets remarried within a year and the abuse escalates. And at one point, the two children, Lalana and her brother, go to the stepmother and they say, listen, he's beating us up, he's molesting, and she calls the cops and has him arrested.
So
the stepmother, and he gets 15 years in jail.
For the molestation of his children.
I just think it's, you know, the stepmother, she didn't
took care of
listen
him.
To yeah, the kids and didn't confront, just said, you know, cops, come get him. And so then Lilana was with her grandmother one day, and she was, I think she was 12 or 13, and they were in the car, and she said, we were going to the shopping center. And I asked her, what happened? Where's my mom? And her grandmother said, honey, your mom's dead.
Yeah. She knew. She knew.
Yeah, they all did. And it was later, in 2000, when they had this new DNA analysis where you could do mitochondrial DNA, which you can get from bone, which wasn't available in the 90s and was very expensive. It was $20,000, I think they said.
He was in jail. They had moved back to Rhode Island.
Yeah.
So he's living with his new wife and the kids in Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
They'd been together for a couple of years. The kids go to the stepmom and say, mm-hmm. this is what's happening. He goes to jail in Rhode Island for this. For right. this molestation, I believe it was mm-hmm. 15 years.
Yep.
Well, when he got out of jail in 1996, he was extradited back to Kentucky to be charged with molestation, sexual misconduct charges in Kentucky, and the statute of limitations had passed, and they could not do that, which is why he couldn't go. He couldn't be rearrested in Kentucky for the molestation.
Okay, he was out.
I think that's been removed. I think you can. If,
yeah, statute of limitations. There should not be anything on that. But the kids went back to Kentucky to live with the grandparents
correct.
After he went to jail.
Right.
So they were in Kentucky, and then Lilana got older. She made this her mission to find out. She even went out in the fields where she thought that
with
the
a
sinkhole.
Shovel trying to find things, and. It was a little confusing to me. I didn't realize the skull had been found so quickly yeah. after the death.
They'd had
so
it for 20 years.
One of the attorneys was described, he goes, it had to have been so grisly that when obviously she was dismembered, but he pulled all the teeth out of the skull and then cut the jaw off. So he said it had to have been like a scene out of a horror movie.
Grisly is the word. You were looking for the... savage.
It's just so bizarre to me. And he buried her. He put part of her in a sinkhole and then put stuff on top of it. So
they were never able to find it.
They were never able to find it. But somehow the skull was found.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was because I'm looking at the picture on TV. I just assumed time had passed, but it hadn't been a year.
Yeah.
From the time that she had disappeared.
Right. And the sister was, they were so passionate about this. The sister was willing to cash out her retirement
because
account
the
to
test,
pay for
the DNA. So Lilana was willing to donate or to give her DNA for these tests because it's mitochondrial versus, mm-hmm. it's very technical and scientific.
Yeah.
But the test costs $20,000. So they have the skull and they have Lilana, who gave her DNA, but to get the DNA out of the skull, and they had taken DNA out of the skull and they knew it was
female,
but they didn't know who they didn't
they
know
could tell by the skull that it was a female
correct.
Skull, a white female.
So this test was $20,000 to do the maternal. It was, but there was a word they used,
uh-huh.
and it was basically
matriarchal.
Saying, there was a word.
DNA?
No. There's a word. It's easier to find female DNA in mitochondria than it is in other parts of the stuff.
Okay.
For some reason, there's a female word attached. It sounded like mammalia, and I don't think that's right.
Okay.
But anyway.
But the county eventually stepped up and paid
correct.
For the procedure.
And so because, and the sister of Marlene was willing to donate her retirement money to do this
that's
test.
That's how passionate they were.
Yes.
And so, it cracked the case. I
it
mean,
did. It actually did.
It sent him, that and the tape recordings that the dad got sent him to jail for life, and I don't think he's still alive. He looked really bad.
I could not find anything else about him in terms of if he was still
around.
In jail or whatever.
He looked awful when he was getting arrested. So,
but just his statements, like when they're asking him questions and stuff, instead of, and I'm not trying to give hints on how to get away with murder, but if someone says to you, "Well, you got away with a perfect crime," it wasn't perfect because people knew about it. That's called admission. That's saying yes. You
didn't you say that he told people that if I killed her, I was going to take her job.
Oh, yes,
he actually just said what he was going
to
do.
That was one of the things. They're friends. If she ever tries to leave me, I'll kill her and I'll hide her body, and no one will ever be able to find it.
And I'll pull
like,
her jaw.
Statements like that.
He told people.
It's so interesting to me when people say things like, "Well, if I can't have her, no one can," and all that kind of ownership bullshit. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it because you know me. Just leave. It's
yeah,
so much.
Just just like,
I'm not saying you can't be mad. You're not going to need the therapy and all that shit. But is it worth your mental health to stay through all of that? So here she was. So Lalana finally getting her answers as to this is her mother and the body of her mother. And she's like, my mom was trying to protect me. She was trying to leave. Marlene had all the divorce papers. She had everything. All he had to do was sign it. And he, being the type of person that he was, you will not leave me. I'll kill you.
Yeah.
That's his thought process.
And he would regularly threaten to kill the kids, too. If you don't do what I say, I'm going to kill your brother.
Right. Well, that's that is an often used technique with people who abuse anybody who physically or sexually abuses somebody. You know, if you tell on me, I'll kill your parents. If you tell on me, I'll kill your brothers.
It's just so sinister.
It's in all of them. It's that textbook. These are the things that happens when you're being sexually molested. Blah,
you know,
blah, blah, blah,
the Sting, when he was talking about that song, I'll Be Watching Every Breath You Take, he's like, it's a very sinister song.
Oh, it does sound very sinister.
And when you think about it, he's like, it's all about controlling and I'll be watching, you're not getting
away. But
when
you think of it, you think of it as a love song.
It's not a love song. It's one of control and possession.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of, whenever I hear that song, I'm always reminded that this is not a song of love. This is a song this guy could relate to.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, it is very funny. This is a personal thing about me, which I think is funny. So, you know, Kevin and I watch these things, and I watch a lot of crime dramas and all that kind of stuff, and I forget how dark it gets. And I am not laughing at the situation
at all.
But I watch so much of this stuff, I'm like, well, there's your problem. Like that, you know.
You tend to see who it is. You put two and two together a lot faster than I do. Because I'm like, that couldn't possibly. And you're like, no, it's that.
Because like when we initially watched when I first started doing my research, it's always funny. I'm like, well, obviously the wife did it, or obviously the so-and-so did it. But it's this level of darkness. I crave laughter, light, joy. That these are the things that I crave. And watching all of this stuff, it chips away at you, man. And there are times that I'm like, I gotta get this crap out of my head. Oh my God, it's very funny.
Well, we'll send this one off into the sunset.
Yay! Then I'll go have some chocolate cookies and something.
Okay,
and that makes me feel better.
We'll go get ice cream. Thanks for listening.
Thanks a lot. Au revoir.